In the last few years of that journey for her, I'll never forget. They were supposed to come visit for a holiday and they were too weak to come. And that's not my parents. They'll do anything to come. So I drove down and I walked in the house, and my mom is the most joyous, clean, pristine. When you get her house, there's something new, new flower, new vase, something. And I walked in and I remember my heart sank. My dad's hair was all disheveled. Like, there was fast food wrappers everywhere in the house. And I was like, it has gotten this bad. And I was like, that's it. You guys have to move in. You have to move in with us. I have to help you.
Whew, this conversation that we're going to have today got me good. Welcome to the Paula Faris Show, friends. I am your host, Paula Faris, and we are talking about the hot topics that you are talking about in your homes. Last week, we really dug into youth sports, and John was here for that conversation. We talked about why your kids should play youth sports and those crazy sports parents, and also whether or not youth sports have gone too far. It was a really fun and lively conversation. But today, we are talking about what to do when you are caring for your kids and your parents. I have mentioned to you the stress and strain of caring for my 84-year-old mother while also juggling a family of five, and I cannot believe how many of you are right there in the thick of it as well. In fact, I polled you on my personal newsletter. So I have a personal newsletter that goes out every 2 weeks. Make sure you're subscribed at paulafarisofficial.com. Over half of you in that poll are right there in the thick of this season too. It's actually called the sandwich generation, which means we are sandwiched between caring for our kids and caring for our parents. It can be a lonely and unsupported and very isolating place to be. It has put so much pressure on my family, and it has affected my relationships with my siblings. I mean, there was a point, you guys, where I didn't talk to one of my siblings for a couple of months because it had put so much strain on the relationship. We are much better now, I'm happy to report. But I knew when we had this conversation, there was only one person for me to call, and that is my friend Jessica Kim. Jessica is a mom of three. She is a mompreneur. Her parents lived with her in her home until they passed away, and she founded a company called Ionicare, I-A-N-A, which means I am not alone care. Ionicare is all about giving support to caregivers so that we don't feel so isolated and alone. So without further ado, here is my dear friend Jessica Kim as we talk about what to do when we are caring for our children and our parents. Jessica Kim, one of my dear friends and a fellow founder, a mompreneur, a mother of three. And we were just regaling, talking about our children. They're almost identical in ages. Yes. We both have girl, boy, boy. So your daughter is how old, and how old are your sons?
So Kayla's 17. She's a junior. And then Grant is 14, uh-huh. Eighth grade. And then Brandon, little baby Brandon, is 11, fifth grade. So
amazing. It's so funny. Our middles are very similar. They don't talk a lot.
No.
And then our youngest sons, like, we call our youngest Landon. We call him Loquacious Landon because he just won't ever stop talking.
That's so cute.
Never. He talks all the time.
And that's like a good thing, right? You realize.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't want to cut that out. Like, keep talking. I'm listening. Yeah.
If he stops talking, it's because he's fallen asleep. That's really the only time he stops talking. So, Jessica, I'm so glad that you're joining me. I have had so many requests, and I know you are listening to the podcast. You especially love episodes with Caroline and Sissy Goff talking about connecting with our teen daughters. This is a huge topic, is how do we care for our aging parents and our children? Some people call it the sandwich generation. We're sandwiched between caring for our kids and caring for our parents. And this is something that's very near and dear to you. It's why you founded a company called Ionicare, I-A-N-A, which means I am not alone. Mm-hmm. Because you went through this with both of your parents, who sadly have now both passed. But tell us a little bit about your own personal experience with caring for parents and your children at the same time, and how it all led to Ionicare.
Yeah, thanks, Paula. It's so nice to be here. I mean, like millions of caregivers out there, I was completely thrust into it, right? No planning, no heads up. It's like unlike anything else where, you know, even when we raise children, you kind of see and predict these milestones. And with caregiving for parents or an adult, it's like, drop of a hat, something could happen.
Yes.
And so that's what happened. You know, I got a phone call and my mom was crying and she was like, oh my gosh, I have, you know, pancreatic cancer. It's like the worst call that you could get. Oh. And I was pregnant. I was about like 7 months pregnant at that time. And she had pancreatic cancer for 7.5 years. Wow. So unusually long. I think it was the biggest blessing because she was able to meet all the grandkids because the kids were young then. But it was a long battle. I mean, it was surgery. It was a lot of treatments. And in the last few years of that journey for her, I'll never forget. They were supposed to come visit for a holiday and they were too weak to come. And that's not my parents. They'll do anything to come. Mm-hmm. So I drove down and I walked in the house and my mom is the most joyous, clean, pristine. When you ever get to her house, there's something new, new flower, new vase, something. Mm-hmm. And I walked in and I remember my heart sank. My dad's hair was all disheveled. Mm-hmm. Like there was fast food wrappers everywhere in the house. And I was like, what is it has gotten this bad.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's it. You guys have to move in. You have to move in with us. I have to help you.
Yeah.
And so they moved in. My kids at that time were around like 10, 7, and 5. And I was working full time and they were living in our guest room. We turned our office into our room. And then I became their full-time caregiver because my dad was also pretty reliant on me. He couldn't cook. He was very helpful in other ways. But those 2 years, I got to the point where I, for the first time ever in my life as a full-time working mom all the time, I quit my job. I became one of those stats where I just could not do both. And so I quit my job to be her full-time caregiver. And I cared for her.
My puppy, by the way.
I know.
My therapy animal. A new puppy. My doggie's on the ground too. You'll probably hear her bark. So,
You might have to give him Rocky. Come on.
Oh, it's okay.
I cared for her until she did hospice in the home and then cared for her until she passed away in my home. From that, in my deep grief, the feeling I felt was anger. Mm-hmm. I was so immediately angry at the world. Because after going through what I went through, I was like, wait, there's so much technology, advancement, solutions, all these other things and all these other areas of life. Why did I feel completely isolated, unsupported, unrecognized? And yet I was doing all of that daily care. And, you know, the way I cared for her impacted her healthcare journey. And I do come from a family of doctors. My dad's a doctor. My sister's a doctor. My husband. And still yet in the home, they had no idea what to do. And that was a huge aha moment. I was like, what? The care in the home is so different than the hospital. And it's completely left out of our journey. Out of that, you know, started IonaCare with my co-founder, Steve. And it was really, let's support the caregivers who are doing all of this care.
Yeah.
And so that's where we started as we were building the company and serving thousands of caregivers. And we work with employers and health plans. You know, my dad lived with us because after my mom passed, you know, after a couple of months of trying to figure it out on his own, he realized he couldn't. And so he lived with us for 5 years. He had congestive heart failure that just got to the advanced stage in the last 2 years where he was in and out of the hospital. He was very weak. He had depression, which I now know is a side effect of heart failure. So as I was caring for all these caregivers through IonaCare, I was going through this very intense journey myself.
Right.
And he passed away 5 months ago now. And so it's still very raw. I'm still processing it all. But more than anything, one, I realized, you know, the way I cared for my mom, I was completely alone. I had no idea. I didn't even call myself a caregiver at that time. And then with my dad, I did feel more equipped, more supported. I was advocating for myself. And so I saw the difference in my own life of just how we need to support caregivers and how we have to recognize them and integrate it into our world. Yeah. So that's kind of a snapshot of that quick journey that has, you know, a lot of details, but that's how I'm coming to this conversation today.
And I saw that your dad, yes, he passed away 5 months ago, but you guys had to sell his home. That's always.
Yes.
You had to go back to the family house and sell it. We went through something similar with my mother. You know, my dad passed in 2019 from a severe stroke. And then my mom has had a stroke and seizures. And I shared with you, she's back in the hospital and she had a mini heart attack. And she's in, assisted/independent living right now, but we had to sell her home, our childhood home that we had lived in for 45 years. She lived in it for over 50 years. And, you know, for them to feel so out of control, like they have no control over anything in their life anymore. But what was that like for you? I know like selling the house was, it was really hard, you know, yeah. it was hard on our mom and it was really hard on our family too, because of all the memories there.
Yeah.
How were you able to work through that?
Oh, I feel like I'm still in the midst of it. Gosh, there's so many layers to that. There's the emotional layer of what that represents, right? Mm-hmm. I was so shocked to realize how much emotions came from seeing a teacup, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just like all the memories of like washing these dishes that my mom wouldn't put through the dishwasher. So I had to hand wash them with her. And it was really emotional. And then there's a lot of baggage in the house, just like stuff that you had to clean out. Yeah, I did share that on Instagram. And it's crazy how many people are sharing their stories, like how hard it is. And yet we never talk about these things.
I know.
Right? We never talk about these things. We don't even post about it. We don't share about it. So we totally feel like we're the only ones going through it. And then, you know, there's all these, this paperwork and legal work of everything that comes with post-death, and it's exhausting, and there's no one there to direct you.
It is overwhelming.
It is overwhelming.
You're in charge of their medical, their finances. Yes. And a lot of times, I don't know about you, like it's hard to find all this information from your parents. My dad had stuff scribbled on 1,000 different post-it notes. You know, thank God my mom was pretty organized, but now she can't remember anything. And that's a struggle in and of itself. So when did you found IonaCare?
So in 2018.
Okay. And Iana, I-A-N-A, I am not alone. And you work primarily with companies and their benefits to help caregivers, correct?
Yes.
But what can we do individually? You say that the way you cared for your father after your mother passed, you just felt a little bit more empowered and equipped. What can you tell anybody out there? And I can't believe how many people are going through this. They are caring for their kids and their parents, whether or not their parents are elderly or aging. Some of their parents are struggling in their 50s and 60s. So we're getting thrust into this earlier and earlier because one of my best friends, her parents are now going into assisted living. Another friend has her grandfather living with her. You know, we're trying to navigate this with my mom, and she's far away. She lives in Michigan. And, you know, the kids are, my brother's in Denver. One of my sisters is down here in South Carolina, and my other sister's in Jackson, Michigan, where my mom is. So many people going through this, Jessica. What are some things to really help ease the load for us?
I really want to start with just even how we define caregiving, because we all have different definitions of it. And because we don't know really how to define it, a lot of us don't even call ourselves caregivers. And that's the first step to getting any help and to say, I deserve this help and I need to advocate for myself, right?
That's good.
And so when you think about caregiving, in the simplest terms, it is caring for anyone of any age, of any condition, of any relationship. And it's that person who just needs help that can't care really fully for themselves, right? Period. And it's the broadest definition. That includes everything from raising and caring for your healthy kids to helping and caring for your spouse who has cancer, your sister who may be battling depression, aging but healthy parents, all to the extreme of 24/7 round-the-clock care of dementia care, where the person needs all the help on the physical and mental needs.
Right.
All of that is caregiving. And so when you think about that broad definition, you realize, whoa, this is life. Like every single one of us are going to go through it. It is one of the greatest acts of love. And I want to say that to everybody. Like it truly is where you are being selfless. This is actually putting someone else's needs before your own. And when you think about your role like that, that is such a deep sense of purpose, right? And so I just want to emphasize, like when we think about caregiving, we immediately also think about the burdens and the stresses and the issues. And believe me, they're all of it. And I want to get into those. But I want to root our conversation and for everyone listening to say, like, if you're a caregiver, this is literally the greatest purpose that you could ever live out in your life. It's the greatest form of love. And caregiving is not the problem. The problem is the lack of support in our society, in our work, in our healthcare system. The problem is that we are not integrated and it's not recognized that this is the reality of life. The problem is that we don't realize that this type of care is actually what makes us human. No AI is going to replace this level of care as long as we're still breathing and living, right?
And we are the fastest growing in the workplace, Jessica. You know this better than anyone else. 75 to 80% of the workplace consists of caregivers and parents. Like you said, with that definition, it is the largest workplace group and it is the fastest growing. And you just said it's an honor and it's a responsibility. It's the greatest act of love. My mother will tell me all the time, I'm sorry, I'm such a burden. And I'm like, Mom, this is an honor for me to do this for you. Okay. Yeah. But it's that perception. It's what she feels because there isn't much societal support, right? There's very little support. And that's what makes it so crippling.
Yeah.
And like you said, you feel alone and you feel isolated in it. Okay. So first of all, we're defining it. It is a great act of love, right?
Yes.
And sacrifice. It's the greatest thing that we
can do. It's the greatest thing you could do. I think to be really practical along with that, it's to call yourself a caregiver. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like acknowledging it, recognizing it, introducing yourself like that. If you are going to the appointment with your mom, you say, oh yes, I'm her daughter and caregiver.
Good.
What that signifies is that, you know, yes, I was a daughter to my dad. And when I was just the daughter, we'd go out to dinner, we'd hang out, we'd drive around. As a caregiver, I was making sure he ate, he took his medications, I did daily living activities, bathing him, everything. That is beyond the role of a daughter. Mm-hmm. And so to say it and to call ourselves a caregiver, again, it recognizes and solidifies that this is extra responsibility. So if I were to tell you, Paula, like, okay, you know what? On top of everything you're doing right now, I'm going to add 24.4 hours of work. Without extra pay. And there you go. You like, look at your response. You would be like, are you kidding? That's actually impossible.
I don't have enough time.
Yeah, it's impossible.
I have no time because between work and the responsibilities at home and then the responsibilities of caring. And look, my mom is, she's in a different state, but my siblings and I have worked something out. So we each have a very active hand, but she lived with us for 3 weeks recently and it was so stressful.
Right.
It was, and it puts a huge burden on your relationships with your siblings too.
Yes.
I mean, my siblings and I were not getting along. And that's where we had to just really come together and figure out a plan and not allow this stress to put an extra strain on our relationship. But you're right. Yeah. It's a lot.
It's
especially
a lot.
If they're living with you like your parents did too. A lot. My mom's in independent living. So.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, adding it, because that is the stat, it's 24.4 on average additional hours of work on top of everything.
Writing that down.
And so if you were, this is related to like a very practical, I think it starts with a mindset, and having lived it day in, day out for 8 years, I realized if I had this mindset early on, I would live differently in a practical way. All the other things are tactics, right? That will change.
Right.
But your mindset of you're adding 24.4 hours of additional responsibility. And it's also very unpredictable, right? Like you can't really plan for it. Something could happen at 3 a.m. in the morning or, you know, just as you're going about your day. So if you were to see it that way and you call yourself a caregiver and you realize you're adding this extra role, just like you would add another job or another responsibility, you would plan for it. Mm-hmm. You would say, you know what? I actually need to realign my expectations of how many times I cook that week or what I commit to or what we can say yes or no to. I would add in proactive rest or mental health time, right? I would just plan knowing that this is a big responsibility that's going to take that time. So I think the problem is we get burnt out because as caregivers, I'm just a daughter. I'm just loving in the way that I will. And so all these things, 24.4 hours, again, that's average. A lot, it could be more than that. Is add to my plate, and yet I'm not planning for it. I'm not working around it. I'm not recognizing it. I'm not being recognized for it. And so that's what gets us in this burnout state, this total burden state, and it's impossible. And so I think calling yourself a caregiver is not just a rah-rah soapbox, I'm a caregiver. It actually tangibly makes you look at yourself and say, this is an additional role. I need to plan for it. I need to advocate for it. I need other people to know that this is an additional role. And that changes kind of what your day-to-day is, which goes into the second thing, I think, is then you have to really know what you can only do and what other people can do. And so it's a whole other level of prioritization, right? Because that's too simple to say, what are your priorities? I would always ask myself when I look at my day, I say, what is something only I can do? And what are things that it doesn't have to be me?
That's really good.
We think we're all in or all out. And as caregivers, we say, oh, well, no one can help with my dad or my mom because they won't receive help from anyone else. So it's just me. I have no choice. But you can get help with your other three kids, right? With your three kids. You can get help with like cleaning the house. You can get help with these
other things. With their community.
With your community. Mm-hmm. And so it's really looking at, okay, I only have so many hours and energy. What is something that I really, it's only can be me? And what are things that I actually have to let go of or that I can actually, you know, get help from other people on unapologetically? Mm-hmm. And that's so helpful. And you know, our whole platform is about leveraging your personal social circles, leveraging the resources, and we put it all in front of you. But what I've seen over and over and over again, what we can't do is change the caregiver's mindset to say, I will take advantage of those things. Mm-hmm, I will say yes to
we
that
feel
help.
Bad. We feel bad. Real. So one of my responsibilities, and I'll tell you a little bit in a second, what's really helped our family, one of my responsibilities being so far is I coordinate all of her doctor's appointments. So mm-hmm. I'm scheduling them. I'm putting them in a shared Google calendar that all four of us have access to.
Yeah.
I put all the information and then I schedule who's going to take her. And sometimes it's my sister. Sometimes, a lot of times it's my mom's community. She has a wonderful community that spends time with her. I mean, she's, for as much as she is struggling, she has so many people that love on her, and that's not always the situation.
That's great.
But that's something that I've been able to do because I felt so helpless. I'm so far away. I can't do anything. But I'm like, Mom, if you have any questions about your schedule, okay, and it's on her phone too, so she can always look at it, I say, contact me. Don't contact my other sister. Contact me. So we each kind of have our lanes. Okay, but that's
okay.
Good.
Wait, so I want to build off of that because that's a huge practical piece of advice, mm-hmm. Especially if you have siblings or other family members. So again, stark difference. When I was caring for my mom, I ended up building a huge bitterness towards my siblings. They wanted to help, but they couldn't because they weren't living with her. So we thought it was like all in or all out. And they were like, well, I'm not there, so I'm all out. And they didn't intend to do it, but that's the reality of what happened. And then when I was caring for my dad, I realized, you know what? We have to act as a team.
Yes,
and sure,
yes, yes.
I am gifted in doing the actual care with them. I will physically care for them. I will bathe and feed and be with them. But you know what? My brother, he's the oldest. He's really amazing at finances. So I actually said, you know what? You're the CFO. You're the CFO of our care team. Any
love
bills,
that.
Anything, the taxes, I literally am not going to look at it because I don't have energy. I'm going to send it over to you. You deal with it. And then my sister, I was like, okay, you're CMO. You're the chief medical officer. Anything that the doctor says we have to research, make a decision on, you do the research. You ask other people. Mm-hmm. You figure it out. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we kind of really said, we all don't need to or should do the same thing, let's like identify and actually name those roles.
That's
and the
so
scope
good, yeah.
of how you're going to help. It's similar to what you were saying. That really changed our dynamic, and it took the stress off of me, really made me feel like I wasn't alone. So that's, you know, it's critical. Yeah. And then third thing I would say, especially if you're a sandwich generation, and Paula, you've probably heard this, but it is beyond the sandwich. It's like the panini, right? Like we are pressed, we're burned, we're oozing from the sides, and it's a lot. I recently had a conversation with my daughter who we were saying she's 17. And so she's been part of this intense caregiving journey in our house from the age of 9 to 17, a long time. I think when I asked her, I was like, I'm just curious now that, you know, that we're not really doing that anymore. What's your perspective? How has it impacted your life? And then she said, you know, well, one, it was really hard to see someone that you love just like decline like that. She saw that really, really close and up front. But she said, the biggest thing I realized is that when you say you love someone, that means you're there when that person is so vulnerable and weak and even unpleasant. And when she said it like that, I was like, wow, that's deep, right? Mm-hmm. And so to see that kind of
for
love,
better and worse.
For better and worse.
In sickness and in health, right?
Yeah.
That's so, wow, what a great statement from your teenager.
And then I said, you know, well, what was, you know, did you feel like it added pressure on you or just extra? And she goes, I love that you involved me. And so I think, you know, when we especially think about sandwich caregivers and you're caring for an adult, whether it's a spouse or sibling or a parent, and you have children, don't be afraid to involve them.
That's
like,
really
you
good.
Know, my kids, I told them up front what was happening. Of course, there are details, or when it got really bad near the end, I kind of shielded them just to protect them, but they knew what was happening. And they can add so much joy. So I remember my son was like 6 years old and my mom came home and she, you know, lost her hair and then she shaved it. And he goes, "Hymini," which is the Korean word for grandma. She's like, "Hymini, what? Why did you choose that haircut?" And then she was like, "What? You don't like it?" He's like, "Oh, it does not look good on you." And but it made my mom laugh because it was just so honest. And yeah, there was just like good. Just a levity to that. And yeah. They would make smoothies and have different recipes. They would help her walk. As I reflect on it, involving your kids also makes you feel not alone in your family. Like you have to take care of everyone, but no one's with you. And even creating your kids as part of the team is really helpful. And I think they'll learn a lot from it. And so don't be yes. afraid of it. They can handle it. They have a deep capacity of understanding and love.
Yes. That's really good challenge and a really good charge. I tried to do that when my mom was living with us, you know, for 3 weeks. And she mm-hmm. comes a couple of times a year to stay with us too. Yeah. And it's a lot on our whole family, but that's a good reminder for me to really get the kids involved when yeah. she comes to stay. And okay, so a couple of things that have helped me and our family, like we were really going to kill each other, my siblings and I. One of my siblings and I got into such a deep fight that we didn't talk for a couple of months. So one thing that's hindsight and looking back, things yeah. that have helped us, I wish we would have done sooner, get a shared email address. So it could be, let's say it's
brilliant.
Yeah, let's say it's Sarah and Jeff are your parents, sarahandjeffskids@gmail.com. And everybody has access to that. And that's how you communicate with the doctor. Okay.
So
wish
good.
We would have done that. Somebody gave me that bit of advice. The other thing, a shared Google calendar or some sort of calendar where everyone has access to it. So you can see your parents' schedule at all times. You can see who's doing what. You have the location, all of the information. And I'm in charge of that for putting all the information in, address, phone number, all of it.
Yep.
And then we have a shared document, whether it's a Google Doc or Microsoft Word doc, whatever it is, literally every bit of information we need to know about our parents. Well, my mom now, her social, all of her credit card information, mm-hmm. her medical information, who her doctors are, her close circle of friends, like all of her membership numbers, her bank account information, everything is there. Obviously, we don't want the wrong hands getting on it, but everything's in that document for all of the children to access
right.
at once. So those are three immediate things. I just shared this with one of my dear friends whose parents are going into assisted living. I was like, there's three kids in her family. I was like, do these three things and I swear it'll take
yes.
a huge burden off because
absolutely.
It does put a lot of pressure on the siblings. And
yes.
like you said, you resented yours for a while. So
totally. No, I think that's very practical. Paul, I will say, you know, we do have a free version of our app and it would put all of that
love
in
it.
There.
I see.
So you
okay,
can use
okay.
Ionicare.
Okay. Or I could use Ionicare and like not waste my time on putting all that information in a document. So
well, you
can I use it? Can you use Ionicare just as on an individual level too?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
You
that's
can.
Good to know.
Well, so for the family coordination piece.
I got
so
you.
There
okay.
are other layers of like local resources and a navigator and things like that we help health plans with patients and then employees for
yes.
employers. But we do have a free version that helps you coordinate with your siblings or family members. And then even I could be on that.
Yes.
You have your private area, but then I can also offer help and things like that.
That's
and so you
great.
Can pull your community together. Yeah, our largest team is 487 people. Yeah. And it's a cancer journey and everyone is rallying and they're getting all this support and it's free and it will be forever be free because we just think it's like a base level of support that everyone deserves. Mm. So.
Well, Jessica, thank you for sharing your story and thank you for just being this advocate for caregivers and just really encouraging us to wear that
yes.
label, to wear that with pride. You know, I am a mother. I am a caregiver too.
Yes,
so
that's right.
And I really hope that society starts to support this group a lot more than it already has. But I think just having these conversations and what we can do to take the burden off of one another Knowing that we're not alone, this is something that most people are going through right now. Yes. It helps just talking about it. So
yeah, I love it. And I love just your platform and the way that you bring these real conversations to everybody. Thanks, in such an authentic way. So I just appreciate you, Paula. We're on this journey together.
Yes, we are. You're a good mama. You're a great mompreneur. You're somebody that I really admire. And you're just doing God's work. You're doing incredible work, Jessica. So keep shining your light in this space because we desperately need it.
Yeah. Thanks, Paula. Love you, girl.
Thank you. You too, hon. Some things that I really took away from that conversation, as Jessica says, call yourself a caregiver. Introduce yourself as my mother or my father's caregiver. Know what you can do and know what others can do. Act as a team and involve your kids. That has helped so much with our family. There's four of us in my family. Each sibling has a specific role. I do all the scheduling. One of my sisters does all the medication. So knowing those roles, creating a Google Calendar, a shared account, having an email set up as well. If your parents' names are Bob and Judy Smith, it could be bobandjudysmithskids@gmail.com. So all the communications are going to one email and you can all access it. But there also is a free version of IonaCares app, which I also encourage you to navigate. I've checked it out and it's been really helpful. And that's what we want to do, is we want to help take this burden off of you in this time of life. But please know that you are not alone. There are so many of you that are going through this very season in this sandwich generation right now. So next week, John is back on the show and we have a very interesting conversation. This is a topic that you asked for, and it's teens and drinking. We are in the height of prom season. We have kids coming home from college. And so how do you handle that? How do you navigate it? Are you the parent that's going to give your kid a safe space to drink in your home so that you know where they are and you know that they're not getting behind the wheel of a car? Like, how do you deal with teens and drinking and teens and substance abuse? John and I have a very special guest that's going to be joining us next week. And I do want to say thank you to all of you who have taken the time to rate the show or write a review. I love this one. Thank you. And I read all of these. This one says, Paula and her guests get into thoughtful discussions on issues we all deal with. It's comforting to hear other people's perspectives on what family life, work-life balance, and relationships look like. And another review says, my new favorite podcast. It's a gift to working moms and dads. I love that she's approaching both genders' perspective. And thank you for those reviews. I read all of them. It means so much to the show. If you can continue to share it with your friends, that's how we're going to keep this momentum going. I just want to make sure that we are having conversations and we're talking about things that you're talking about and that you can actually have some tangible takeaways from these conversations, even if it's just knowing that you're not alone in this thing called life. So thank you for joining us this week. Can't wait to see you next week again. Johnny's back and we will continue to talk about it. I know you guys thought you were done with me, but not quite yet. I have one more thing to tell you about. If you're watching on YouTube or you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, don't forget to subscribe to the show. I don't want you to miss a single beat or a single conversation. And remember, my DMs are always open. Tell me what you want to talk about.